Okay, we're on.
Okay, I'm muting myself.
Okay, so we left off in the Gamorrah, the fourth test, Omud Base. I apologize about Thursday morning, but we're back on today. Says the Gamorrah on the eighth bottom line, Omar le Eliyahu. Presumably this is Eliyahu Hanavi, no less. We're being recorded by the Ramesh Zarek. Omar le Eliyahu le Rav Yehuda Achva de Rav Salah Hasida. Rav Eliyahu says to Rav Yehuda, who's the brother of Rav Salah Hasida, he says, Loi Sirtach V'loi Sachati. Do not get angry and do not sin. Presumably, the two are dependent on each other, and that's the way Rashi explains. Loi tirtach, says Rashi, v'loi sachati. Loi sichos, do not get angry. Shemitoich haka'as, because it's through anger, atombo lidei chet, that a person can come to aveira. So therefore, the Gemara is clearly telling us that the two are dependent on each other. If one comes to anger, then that will inevitably bring him towards chet. This is, of course, very much in Yonah de Yoima, because in the very difficult parasha that we read yesterday, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, the chet of the Mei Meriva, as we know, it's extremely unclear as to what exactly the Aveira was on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. The greatest proof that it's unclear is the fact that the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh brings 10, no less than 10 different opinions on the subject. So if you have 10 differing opinions as to what the Chet was, then the one thing that's clear is that it's not clear what the Chet was. However, some do say, the Rambam says, that the Sheirish of the Chet was anger. The way that Moshe Rabbeinu addressed Klal Yisrael when he said, Shimu no ha-moirim, listen you rebellious ones, was an expression of anger, and for that he was punished very severely. So this is very much in Yonah D'Yoma. Back into the Gemara. So Eliyahu Hanavi's first instruction was, do not become angry, and that way do not sin. Also, loy torui v'loy sechatu. What does it mean, loy soru, says Rashi? Loy tishtaker b'yayin, do not become drunk through wine. So he gave him so far two warnings. Don't become angry, don't become drunk, because both can bring a person, chas v'sholem, to aveira. We know this very clearly, obviously, from the Nozi and the Ish of Soita, where Chazal tell us that the juxtapositioning between the Ish of Soita and the Nozi in Parashas Nosoi is because that all of her misdemeanors came about as a result of drinking. So a person drinks, loses control, indulges, and then can be over Chas V'Sholem, the worst of the worst of Eris. Finally, said Eliyahu Hanavi, Uchasha'ato yeitze lederech, whenever you go off on a journey, himoleich b'koineich v'tzei. What does himoleich mean? The last two words of that Rashi, himoleich, toil rishus, seek permission. This is what we commonly know as Tfilas HaDerech, as the Gemara says in the next line. Himoleich b'koineich means seek permission from your creator. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? My himoleich b'koineich v'tzei, quote unquote. What does that mean? Consult or seek reshus from your creator and only then travel. Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Chista, zu Tfilas HaDerech. This is Tfilas HaDerech. So the Gemara seems to be telling us a very big chiddush. We traditionally understand that Tfilas HaDerech is a tefillah that all should be well on our journey. After all, a journey can be dangerous, so we're davening that all should be well. In this Gemara, it seems to be that something else is being indicated, and that is that Tfilas HaDerech is all about seeking Rishus to go. Seeking Rishus to go. It's not just a tefillah, please help me on my journey, but rather it is seeking permission. With the obvious question being, what does that mean, seeking permission? Well, how will I know if permission has been granted or not? So some explain, and this is based on a Gemara later on, a Mishnah, that Rav Chanina ben Doisa used to daven for sick people, and he used to, at the end of the tefillah, immediately tell whether the chola would indeed become better or not. And they asked him, how do you know? You've only just davened. And he said, I'm not a Novi, but if the tefillah goes smoothly, no hiccups in the middle, then I know that's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tefillah was accepted. If, however, I trip up over my words, then that's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my tefillah has not been accepted. Based on that, some suggest that that's what this Gemara means as well. If you seek permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying the Tfilas HaDerech, as we asked, how would you know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu has indeed accepted your tefillah or not? And the answer is, well, did you manage to say Tfilas HaDerech smoothly? All the words came out exactly as you wished, and that's a sign from Shemayim that indeed your tefillah has been accepted. If, however, you tripped up and you fumbled and tumbled over your words, then that would seem to be a sign, an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want you to travel. La halacha, we don't paskin like this. La halacha, we paskin that when you go on a journey, you say Tfilas HaDerech, and then you travel, either way. It's very important to keep stock. We've mentioned altogether, and we're going to see this till the end of the sugya, and then Be'ezus Hashem, maybe next time on Tuesday, see some of the halacha. We're seeing in this sugya two different type of tefillahs. We discussed early on in the Gemara, if you look at the end of the third wide line of the Gemara, look again at the end of the third wide line, it says, Hamahaleich, V'mokoim gedudei chayo v'listim mispalel tefillah katsara. There exists what's called a tefillah katsara for anybody who goes on a dangerous path. Here we're learning that there's something called tefillas haderech. It doesn't say anything about it being dangerous. So what's the difference between the tefillah katsara and the tefillas haderech? It sounds like that the tefillah katsara, the abbreviated version of tefillah, is a specific tefillah when you go on a dangerous path, a dangerous journey. Whereas tefillas haderech seems to be even on a non-dangerous journey. This is the tefillah that you should be saying. And we'll soon see, Mitzvah Hashem, there are very big halachic differences between the two. Says the Gemara. V'omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rav Chizka. Kol hayotze lederech, anybody, optum word kol. It doesn't say only if you go on a dangerous journey. Anybody who goes on a journey, tzarech lehispalel tfilas haderech. He has to daven the tefillah of the derech. My tefillas haderech. What is the lashon? Yirotzoi milfonecho Hashem Eloikai. May it be the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my God, Shetoylicheni L'Shalom, that he should transport me in peace or to peace. V'satz Ideini, I should step, all my steps should be towards peace. V'sismacheni L'Shalom, and he should support me towards peace. V'satzileini Mikaf Kol Oyev, and he should save me from the clutch of all enemy. V'oirev, or ambushes, baderech, on the journey. V'tishlach brocha b'maase yodai, and he should send brocha in all of my handiwork, v'sitneini l'chein, l'chesed, or l'rachamim b'einecho, or b'einei kol royai. And I should have chein, chesed, and rachamim in your eyes, and the eyes of all who see me. Baruch atah Hashem, shemea tefillah. That is the Nusach. It is known. You'll see at the side. If you look at the Vilna Goyen, you'll see at the side of your Gemara, there should be in small writing, the Hagoyis Hagro. Have a look at the Hagoyis Hagro in Sif Cotton Gimel. Have a look at Gimel. It says that the Vilna Goyen added, V'sismacheni l'shalom, V'sachzireni l'beisi l'shalom. So too, you should also return me to my home, b'shalom. Halacha, what's most commonly practiced is that you do say that if you're going back on the same day. Not so many of the halachas are mentioned in the Gemara, but I think if we're learning this anyway, it would be a very good opportunity to look at the halachas together. So Mitzvah Hashem, next time bring your Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph. But there are very famous questions that need to be asked. For example, what happens if you travel to the airport from which you fly to your eventual destination? How many times must you say Shemiah Tefillah, and when do you say it? Do you say it in the drive in the cab on the way to the airport? And if you do, must you say it again on the plane? What happens if you're on a cruise? You're docking here and you're docking there. You stop overnight in one place, another place. You say Tefillah Saderech once every day or once for the whole journey. When exactly do you say it? That we're going to see later on in the Gemara. There are several halachas, very, very important. I think one of the most famous questions, and this is neged to all of us, is do you say Tefillah Saderech when you leave Bet Shemesh and you go, for example, to Yerushalayim? On Kvish Echad, Route 1. There are varying opinions. I know Rav Kornfeld himself, I've been with him in the car several times, does say Tfilas HaDerech with Hashem HaMalchus. Some make a compromise. They say Tfilas HaDerech, but they don't say Hashem's name, and some don't say it at all. I asked my own Rabbi, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, and he said you should say it. Unfortunately, the statistics show that it's a dangerous street, a dangerous road, and therefore it should be said. But again, everybody should ask their own Rav.
It's because you don't say it because it's a safe journey, or is that why you don't say it?
So we'll see.
People who don't say it.
Right, so we'll have to see exactly what that means, because we said before that Tfilas HaDerech maybe is not really dependent on whether it's a safe journey or not a safe journey. That's only the Tfilah Ktsara, which you say B'mokim Sakona. So why would this be different? Okay, so we'll see. We'll learn together the Halachas of Mitzvah Hashem. Just one second, give me a second. The Gemara. Omar Abana, this is a fascinating Gemara, very, very important Gemara. Omar Abaya, lo'oilom lishatef. A person should include inish nafshei, a person should include himself or join himself, lishatef from the word shutfus or shutaf, partnership. A person should always partner himself, bahodi tzibura, together with the tzibur. What does that mean? He should partner himself with the tzibur. Heichi neimer, how should he say? What he should say is, Yirotzem ofonecha Hashem Elokeinu, plural, shetoylicheinu l'shalom. If you look in the initial text, it says that it should be Yirotzem ulfonecho Hashem Elokai, my God, in the singular, Shetoylicheinu l'shalom. He should transport me l'shalom. What Abaya over here is being moisif is that no, you should daven in the plural, daven b'loshein rabim. That way you are being mishtatif yourself with the tzibur. A And therefore, rather than saying Elokai in the singular, you should say Elokeinu in the plural. Rather than saying Shetolicheini l'shalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should transport me, you should say should transport us. Now, the first thing that needs to be pointed out, we'll see Rashi in a second, but let's just translate the words. What does that mean, you're davening for other people? Who exactly are you davening for? So the Poskim point out that statistically it is safe to assume that whilst you begin your journey, there must be somewhere, somebody, in some place, who's also going on a journey. If that wasn't the case, then obviously it doesn't really make sense to daven for somebody else when nobody else is going on a journey besides for you. The answer is, you're not the only one on the journey, there are others as well, and therefore you're davening for them as well. Now, we're not told in the Gemara why indeed should you daven for others. This is an extremely important piece of Gemara, because as we well know, that we daven for others in all of our tefillahs, not just in tefillahs aderech. All of our davening, the Shmoneh Esrei that we all daven this morning, is all beloshen rabim. We didn't say refo'eini, we say refo'einu, selach lo'nu, hashiveinu, baruch oleinu. All of our davening is beloshen rabim. This is the source of it. The Gemara is specifically talking about tefillah saderech, but it's true for all tefillah. So what is this concept of davening for others? So of course, when we grew up as kids, we were always told, we daven beloshen rabim, because we care about each other, and it's all about achdus and sholim. It's a very nice principle that the teacher taught us, but it's not what it says in Rashi, and it's not what it says in Mefarshim. Have a look at Rashi. Lishatef nafshei, the top Rashi, you should partner yourself. Al yispalel tfila kitsara beloshen yochid. Do not daven, now Rashi says it's not referring perhaps to the tfila saderech, it's the tfila kitsara that we mentioned before, but from the Hemshech of the Gemara it's quite clear that we are talking about tfila saderech. Do not daven beloshen yochid, elo beloshen rabim. One should daven in the plural sense. Why? So Rashi says four words. Shemitoich kach, because through this, tfilosoi nishma'as, his tfilah is heard. Now Rashi's words, l'choira, are a little bit vague. What does that mean? Through this, says Rashi, through this, one's tefillah will be heard. What does that mean? L'chaira, if the idea was all about achdus and shalom and caring, which of course is a distinctly Jewish midah and a very positive attribute, but if that was the pshat, then why is that a reason for one's tefillah to be listened? Because I daven for somebody else, I'm davening beloshen rabim, that's a reason why my tefillah should be listened. I understand it's a very positive midah that you care about others as well, but why is that a reason that my tefillah should be listened to? And the answer is, it's nothing to do with achdus or caring about others per se. Rather, this is the way I understand it, and it's mavua this way in the Rambam. We know there exists a concept, for example, of a tfilas rabim. There is a unique tfilah. There's something very special about a tfilas rabim. Besides for the fact that when we daven, we have a minyan, but we try to always have a rabim. Why? What's unique about a tfilas rabim? And the answer is, what's unique about a tfilas rabim, similar, for example, to when we take the lulav on Sukkos. We have the lulav, the esrog, the adasim, and also the arava. What does the arava represent? as Chazal teach us, somebody with no Torah and with no Maisim Tovim. So he cannot really stand, as it were, alone, because he has not, doesn't really have Zechuyos going for him. But if you tie him up together with the Arba Minim, then he becomes part and parcel of everybody else, and he doesn't now stick out. Another example would be the Ketores. How many spices were there in the Ketores? There were 11. But one of them had a very terrible smell. Yet, when it was brought together with the others, it can become subsumed by the other 10. Just by the way, in parenthesis, I'll tell you a wonderful little story. The Chassam Sofer, who, as we well know, battled his whole life against the Reform, on one occasion found himself struggling to make a minyan. And had 8 people, they had 9 people, and the 10th man arrived. They had 10 altogether, but one of them was a member of the Reform. And the Chassam Sofer did not want to include him as a 10th man for a minyan. So he told somebody, here, find one more person. So the Reform member was most put out, was highly insulted, and said, why are you looking for an 11th man? Is it because you don't count me in? I don't count. What about in the Ketores and the Beis HaMikdash? They had one very bad smelling besomim. So the Chassam Sofer said, it's true, but they still had 11 altogether, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Al kol panim v'ofen, so this is the concept. The concept is that when a person has to stand alone, then it's a little bit of a frightening proposition. But when I am subsumed by the tzibur and I stand out less, then I can have the zechuyos of the tzibur, and I'm not davening anymore as an individual. It is well known that there were some very big Rosh Hashivas, Gedali Yisrael, who did not want, for example, to get an aliyah on Yom Neiroim and Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, because they felt that they did not want to stand out. I even heard that there were Rosh Hashivas who used to move their place on Yom Neiroim. Instead of sitting in the front of the yeshiva, on Yom Neiroim, they used to stand and sit in the middle of the yeshiva. I don't want to stick out on Yom Neiroim. I'd rather be judged, as it were, as a rabbin. Either way, when you daven as a rabbin, then you have the zechus of a rabbin, and you're no longer standing as an individual. In the Rambam, it seems to be quite clear that that's the same concept as davening beloshen rabbin. Even though I may well be davening as an individual, like, for example, Tfilas HaDerech, I don't have multiple people davening with me, but it's the same concept. If I daven for myself and also somebody else, then I don't stick out as much. This is the same type of concept as a Tfilas Rabbim, Beloshen Rabbim, and that's what Rashi means. When Rashi says, Shemitoich kach tfilosoi nishma'as, through this his tfilah will be listened to, not because he's a caring person and achdus and shalom and all wonderful middos. No, although those are all true, but that's not what Rashi is saying. Rather, if you daven beloshen rabbim and you incorporate others in your tfilah, then it has the maila of a tfilas rabbim, meaning there are several people who are included in this tefillah, so I no longer stand out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, not looking at me as an individual with his magnifying glass, because if he does, that's a very frightening proposition. Rather, by incorporating others in my tefillah, we're all being judged collectively. That's why the tefillah becomes more powerful, and as Rashi says, will therefore be listened to. This is a very important concept that we mentioned. All of our davening is beloshen rabim, rafayinu, hashiveinu, warecholeinu. Next time we daven, mitzashem, mincha today, we should think of this. It's not only because of the union of achdus, etc., which is of course a very important concept, but according to what it seems to be mavua in Rashi and the Rambam, it's a more powerful tefillah. Rashi says, your tefillah will be listened to. It's a more powerful tefillah. Why is it a more powerful tefillah? Because I'm not davening as an individual, but rather as a rabbim, so it has the milos of a tefillah's rabbim. Okay, maybe let's press pause over here, and we'll tune back in for doing well.
Jan?
Yeah?
What made the power go off, do you know?
Yeah, I took the picture off to see which alarm.
And you turned...
So I must have hit the picture when I went back on.
Oh, it...
When I put the picture back up, it must have hit the thing. So I don't think it was any...
Oh, so you pulled it back up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, did it go off again?
No. What's going on?
So I called Shmulek. He's not answering. He left there's a message in the machine. I couldn't understand it.
Says the Gemara, Amas Matzli. When exactly should you daven? We're talking about the Tfilas HaDerech. Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Chista, Misho'o Shmahalech BaDerech. From the time that you go on the journey. Now, as we know from the Halacha, that means when you leave your town. When you leave your house, even if you're planning on going on a long journey, you don't say Tfilas HaDerech because you're still in the town. We'll see more of that mitzvah Hashem from the Halacha. But either way, the Gemara for the moment is telling us that when would you say this Tfilah, Mishah, Shema Halech, Baderech, from the time that he sets foot on his path. Ad Kamo. Now we'll see there's a machlekas how to learn this. Rashi says, Ad kamo zmano lehispalil. Until when is the time that you could say this tefillah? We've been told from when. We have not yet been told until when. That's how Rashi learns. We'll soon see in a moment, others learn differently. Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rav Chista, Ad parso. Until a parso. Parasa is a quarter of a mil. So if a mil is, let's say, 18 minutes walking, so a parasa would be about 4.5 minutes of walking. Says Rashi, Ad parasa, avaloi la'achar shaholeich parasa. But not after he has gone a parasa. So according to the way that Rashi learns the Gemara, we'll soon see he quotes a Bahag, having learned differently. But Rashi is telling you that the discussion in the Gemara is, when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? From when until when? It's all about the timing. And according to Rashi, you say it from the beginning of the journey, at any time from the beginning of the journey, until which point? Until you have traveled a parasa. After you have traveled a parasa, according to Rashi, you have missed the boat. It's too late to say the tefillah. But look, however, Rav Nachum.
Is a parasa a period of time or is it a distance?
So it sounds like it's a distance.
It's a distance. So if I'm in a car versus walking, it's right. I have much same more time.
No.
Less time.
To the contrary, if you're walking, you'd have more time.
Right,
yeah. Now, says Rashi, Ubahag mefaresh, the Bahag, however, learns the sugya differently. And there's a very big halachic nafkamina, as we'll see. Ubahag mefaresh, ad kamo yevakesh leilech, the Bahag learns the sugya completely differently. When the Gemara says ad kamo, how much, Rashi learns until when can you say the bracha of Tfilas HaDerech, the tefillah. The Bahag learns, no, that's not the question at all. The question is, how long must your journey be altogether in order to qualify for Tfilas HaDerech? We're not talking about at which point in time you say Tfilas HaDerech, but rather Ad Kama means how far, not how long in the timing, but how long in the journey. What type of journey would require Tfilas HaDerech? Look at Rashi again. Ubahad mafarish ad kamo yevakesh leilich. How far must you be wanting to go? Shiyehit sarich, which will then necessitate lehispala ofim to daven. And the answer is ad paraso. Meaning, afilu ein loy leilich elo ad paraso. Even if you're only going a paraso, which is obviously not a very long distance, 4.5 minutes of walking distance, nonetheless, that's sufficient to require Tfilas HaDerech. Aval derech pochis mi paraso. But any journey which is less than that, ein sorich lehispalel tfilo zu, you do not need to daven this journey, this tfilo. So we have an enormous machloikas, lahalocha, between Rashi and the Bahag. According to Rashi, until which point can you say Tfilas HaDerech? Until you've traveled the paraso. After that, it's too late. So it's all about timing. According to the Bahag learns that our sugya is not talking about timing. Rather, our sugya is talking about length of journey. What type of journey requires Tfilas HaDerech? And the answer is a journey of a minimum of a paraso. Less than that, not. More than that, yes. So if we would ask the Bahag, when's the latest point you can say Tfilas HaDerech? What would he answer? Any suggestions, please? No limit.
No limit.
According to the Bahag, you have no limit. As long as you're still on the journey, you can say Tfilas HaDerech. Why? Because according to the Bahag, the Gemara was never discussing at which point in your journey can you say Tfilas HaDerech till. We have no Gemara that discusses that, so presumably you can say it until the end. The flip side of the coin is, what would be, according to Rashi, if you go on a very short journey, less than a paraso, would you say Tfilas HaDerech?
Yes.
L'chayr, you would? Again, each one of the Rishonim, Rashi and the Bahag, we have one Gemara. Either the Gemara is talking about timing, or it's talking about length of journey, but it can't be talking about both. So according to Rashi, it's all about timing. That means it's not talking about length of journey. That's not the issue. So whatever length of journey, the chayri always mukhiv, say Tfilas HaDerech, even if it is less than a parasa.
And according to Rashi, once you've gone a parasa, you've lost your opportunity?
According to Rashi, that is exactly the subject of the Gemara. Once you've missed a parasa, you've missed your opportunity. Whereas according to the Bahag, excuse me, we have no Gemara that says that. The Gemara is not talking about until when, but rather what length of journey. But when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? Obviously, as early as you can. But if you miss it, what does that mean, you miss it? You can say it until the end. So this is going to be very, very big nafka minah now, la halacha, and we're going to have to see in Shulchan Aruch, Be'ezus Hashem, next time, on Tuesday, all being well, how we pasken. If you look at the side of your Gemara, you should have a Rabbeinu Chananel. In different prints, it might be on the right, it might be on the left. In mine, it's on the inside, right-hand side, towards the middle of the page, in small letters, Rabbeinu Chananel. It goes all the way down the length of the Omid. You can see it? If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, towards the beginning, it's in my Gemara, it's the second piece on the page, not the first, where it says, Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Chista, Afilu Ein Daitoi Leilech Ad Parso. Yispal El Tvers Aderech, V'kol Shekein Yosef. Even if you're only traveling a parasa, you say Tfilas Aderech, obviously if you're going more, Avol Pochais, Loi. But less than a parasa, not. Who is Rabbeinu Hananel learning like? Is he learning like Rashi, or is he learning like the Bahag? He's definitely learning like the Bahag. He clearly tells you that the issue is not the timing of the Tfilah, but rather the length of the journey. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is, even if you're going on a relatively short journey, a parasa, you're mukhtay to say Tfilah Saderech, and that's what Rabbeinu Hananel says. Kol Shekein, obviously, if it's a longer journey, but not less. Okay, let's have a look back into the Gemara. V'heichi matzli lo. How do you daven this tefillah? How exactly is this tefillah said? Rav Chista Omar Mu'umod. You have to stop and stand to say tefillah saderach. But if you are actually in transit, you are walking or you are riding, you cannot say tefillah saderach. You've got to stop. Rav Sheshe says no. Afilu mahalech. Even if you are traveling, you may also say tefillah saderach. He doesn't say that you have to, but he says afilu. You do not need to stop. This again, we'll have to see how we pass. This is very negeh halacha lemaisa. You're in your car on the journey. Do you have to stop the car and get out to say tefillah saderach? Well, I think, as we all know, nobody does that. Therefore, we seem to paskin that even if you're traveling. And how do I know that we paskin like that? So, of course, because next to the words afilu mahalach, you'll see next to that afilu, there's a little gimel, which sends us, obviously, to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And as we've always said, it's the cheat's way of knowing what the halacha is. Even if you don't look it up, but the very fact that there's little gimel there means that is the halacha. And I think we all knew this anyway. We paskin, you do not need to stop the journey. You may continue your journey and say tefillah saderach. Now, an interesting story. This was a machlokes between who? Between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. Well, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes themselves were on one occasion traveling together. Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes have a ka'ozli ba'urcha. Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes were traveling on the path, on a journey. Kom Rav Chista. So Rav Chista stood, he stopped. V'kom matzli and he davened tefillah saderach. Now, why did he stop? The answer is because this is Rav Chista's opinion. Rav Chista just told us one line previous that you've got to stop. So, in following with his own opinion, indeed, that's exactly what he did. Omar le Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, L'shamei. L'shamei means to his shamash, to his assistant. My ka'ovid Rav Chista. What is Rav Chista doing? What does that mean, what's he doing? Couldn't he see that he was davening tefillah saderach? Says Rashi, Rav Sheshes ma'oir einayim hava. What does that mean? Ma'oir einayim hava?
Blind.
Rav Sheshes was blind. We, of course, always use the opposite. We don't want to say that he couldn't see. So we say ma'oir einayim, his eyes were full of light. Which is a polite way of saying that, in fact, it was devoid of light. He couldn't see. So because he couldn't see, he suddenly sensed that everything has stopped and he doesn't understand why. That's why he asked his assistant, what's going on? What is Rav Chista doing? Omale, so he said to him, Koi, he is standing, umatzli, and he's davening. Davening what? Obviously, tefillah saderach. Omale, so Rav Sheshe said, Ukman nami ledidi. I'm also going to stop, va'atzli, and I'm going to daven. Now, if we would stop here, we would be a little bit puzzled. Why would Rav Sheshes need to stop? He himself holds that you're allowed to say Tfilas HaDerech even while it's traveling, so I understand that Rav Chista stops. And he stood up. Why would Rav Sheshes need to do that? The answer is, Mihiyois Toiv Al Tikro Ra. If you could be good, then don't be bad. It's a posuk. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Mihiyois Toiv Al Tikri Ra. Hoyil Van Yochoy Lehispalel Mu'umad. Seeing as I am able to daven, having stopped, why? Shaharei chaburasi oimeres, because my chabura, my group, my entourage has stopped, waiting for Rav Chista. As loy ekrora, therefore why would I do something bad, lehispalel mahalach, daven whilst traveling, afal pi shamuta. Even though it's 100% permitted, because Rav Sheshes himself is of the opinion that Tfilas HaDerech can be said even whilst traveling. But you know, if I've stopped anyway, and I can say Tfilas HaDerech standing, having stopped, well, why would I not want to do that? So you clearly see from this Gemara, and it was implicit in the Lashon of the Gemara previously, that Rav Sheshes never said that you must say Tfilas HaDerech whilst traveling. He said you may do so. But if you've stopped anyway, so if I can do it toiv, why should I do it ra? He doesn't literally mean it's ra. That's why Rashi pointed out. It's muta. His opinion is you're allowed to say tefillas haderech even whilst traveling. But if we've stopped anyway, you might as well. Look at the top Tosfos, and with this we'll finish. Veheichi matzli lo, says Tosfos, at tefillas haderech koi. This is referring to tefillas haderech. Rav Sheshes Omar Afilu Mahalech V'Kaim Alon K'Rav Sheshes. And indeed, we paskin like Rav Sheshes that Tfilas HaDerech can be said even whilst traveling. Umihu B'Toisefta Posak HaRav Rabbi Yosef K'Rav Chista. Even though I maintain the halacha is like Rav Sheshes, but I must be perfectly honest, says Tosfos, because in the Toisefta it says there That's not true. The halacha is actually like Rav Chista, which means that Tfilas HaDerech must be said having stopped. V'chein Rav Alfus, and so too Rav Alfus, that's the Rif, also says Pirish, the Rav Chista adifalei tfei. Rav Chista is literally translated better for him. In other words, it would seem to me, says the Rif, that Rav Chista is the more understandable opinion. So we have a Tosefta, we have the Rif, and yet nonetheless Tosfos remains unmoved. Tosfos says, I nonetheless paskin that you can say Tfilas HaDerech even whilst traveling. That indeed is the halacha. And Be'ezus Hashem, next time I'd like to see some of the halachas. Now the next Gemara is, relatively speaking, very simple Gemara. Very, very easy Gemara. I think we can reach pretty much all the way to the Mishnah on Tuesday. The Mishnah, 6 lines from the bottom. Plus, I still think we'll have some spare time to do the Mishnah Berurah. If you want to have a look and prepare it, have a look in Siman Kuf Yud, 110, 110, and you'll see the relevant Seifim with regard to Havineinu, with regard to the Tefillah Katsara, and with regard to the Tfilas HaDerech, the 3 different types of tefillahs that we've been discussing in our Gemara, details of which are all discussed in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Yud, and Be'ezus Hashem will try and learn some of that together next time on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Yeshkoyach.
Thank you very much.
All too.
Yeshkoyach.